This evening, we actually have a very, very special treat. We got what we would call a special speaker. And actually, my brother Mike is going to be sharing the word with us this evening. He actually shared the word about a month ago. We had a man's fellowship, and some of you brothers were there at his house. And, you know, he wanted to share a word to the brothers. And, man, he did such an awesome job. And the Lord ministers so much to my heart and to all the brothers that were there. I asked him if he could share tonight and minister the word with us, and so he is going to minister the word. Amen. So what if we welcome up brother Mike, and he's gonna minister the word.
God bless everybody. How's everyone doing tonight? The weather's beautiful, right? Praise God. So I don't want to waste no more time. I was going to say a funny joke, but I'm not that funny. Like Adam. So we'll 86 the joke and just go straight into the word. What do you guys think? If you have your Bibles, if you could open them up to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And we're actually going to read all the way down to 6. And when you have it, say amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We got it? Praise God. The word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. This is the word of God, and everyone says, amen. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me as we bring the night before the Lord? Dear Lord, I thank you for these brothers and sisters that came out tonight. I ask now that you would prepare our hearts during this time. Remove all the distractions. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, anoint my lips. Help me, Father, to share tonight. I ask all these things in your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And everyone says, amen. In 1998, I met a young man that was different from anyone that I ever met before. He had all the characteristics of a perfect young man, those characteristics that I could only dream about. This young man was smart. He was tall, probably the same height as my brother, 6'3". He was handsome. You could say he was a Mexican Brad Pitt. He was well-liked. Everyone loved this guy. He was very generous. He spoke perfect English and perfect Spanish. Man, I hated him. He was also a great dancer on the dance floor. You could say he was a ladies' man. He didn't have trouble finding a date over the weekends. He was the type of guy that would enter the room and everyone would want to surround him. They just wanted to be next to him, see what he was going to say. To me, this young man had it all. There was nothing this young man couldn't do. And then something happened. In the year 2000, he became very ill. And it wasn't for a week or two, but it was for several months. And he actually got worse. Finally, the doctors advised him and his family to have an exam with a camera. So him and his family agreed to do the exam. Shortly after the exam was done, the doctor told him what he feared the most. They found cancer. Immediately, he and his family rushed to Mexico to seek a miracle worker to heal him. They visit different miracle workers, or in Mexico, they call them curanderos, a witch doctor. After seeking and visiting many so-called miracle workers throughout Mexico for several months, the cancer didn't get smaller, it actually got bigger. The cancer began to spread, and finally him and his family decided it was time to return home. I remember when he came home, his family threw him a huge party. I attended that party, and when I went to that party, I couldn't believe what I saw. The young man, who was strong, healthy, full of life, was now weak, skinny, could barely talk. Could barely stand. I left the party feeling so sad for this young man. Finally, the cancer just took over, and only 2 months later, This young man passed away. He was only 19 years old. Tonight, I want to talk about when giants come, who do you trust? For our study, I want us to look at the story of David and Goliath. And I only got 5 points. 5 points. So point number one, the giant. And we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 11 for our first point. And when you have it, say amen. Everyone got it? Now the Philistines gathered their armies for the battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soko and Aska in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in line of the battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from a camp of Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had the helmet of a bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs, a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a woven beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up from battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of the Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all the Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Point number one, the giant. So we read that the Israelites had a huge problem. The problem was with the Philistines. The Philistines had many giants living in their land. One of the strongest and biggest giants was named Goliath. We read that he was 9'6" tall. I'm 5'9½", so add double, I guess. That's crazy to imagine. Goliath was covered from head to toe with armor. The Bible says that his armor alone was 150 pounds. Wow. This dude was like a huge ninja. He also carried a big spear that was 20 pounds. Wow. Every morning and every evening for 40 days, Goliath came down to the Israelites' territory and shouted to their armies in a big, deep voice, and said, "Hey, you guys, I dare you to find one man, just one man, to fight me. If he can beat me, we will become your servants. But if I win, you all will become our servants." Goliath was challenging any man from Israelite army to a one-on-one fight to the death. We read when Saul and his men heard Goliath, the Bible says they were afraid. They were actually very afraid, the Bible says. When we read about Saul's man, don't think it was Saul and just a couple of his buddies. No, we're talking about thousands of men. Thousands of men. The Bible says not one of those thousands of men was willing to fight Goliath. Even the mighty king himself, the one who won several battles with the Lord, was now afraid of this giant named Goliath. Sad to see that King Saul wasn't trusting in God to help him defeat this giant, but instead he was very afraid. You know, we all will also face giants at one time or another. Or maybe someone right now is facing a giant or two. By giants, I mean something that seems huge, something that seems incredible, incredible problem or issue that seemed to just be getting bigger and bigger. that troubles us so much that we're not able to sleep at night. It could be a giant of fear of losing someone, like a loved one, or maybe losing your house. Your rent payment seems to be going up and up every year, and you're not sure how you can continue to pay for it. Maybe it's your job, it's your boss. It's making your life miserable. You fear your boss and you're scared to go to work each day. Or maybe it's an employee. He tends to be late every day, always asking for the day off, always calling in sick when the Lakers are playing. Or it could be your health that seems like it's just going downhill. Or maybe it might be a giant of some type of personal sin that you fall into again and again, that you battle with daily, like alcohol or drugs or even pornography. It might be a sin of pride, envy, anger, or lust. Or it might be a different kind of giant altogether, like your marriage. You might feel like your spouse doesn't love you anymore. Things are not the same like they used to be. And things are just getting worse and worse each day with you. Or maybe it's your son or your daughter that you battle with each day, that they don't listen. Just like when I was a teenager, I would not listen to my parents. Or something in the past that happened to you when you were a child and nobody knows. Or it could be your finances. The bills are stacking up and they're about 9-6 feet tall, your bills. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking about giants in our lives. Point two, God is still in control. Let's look at verses 12 to 18. When you have it, say amen. Verses 12 through 18 reads, "Now David was the son of a Ephraite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to battle, and the names of the 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn. Next to him was Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, 'Take for your brothers an ephah of parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheese to the commander of their thousands. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them.'" Point two, God is still in control. We are told that David had 3 older brothers that were in battle with King Saul. Now David's father, Jesse, heard about the giant and became worried for his sons. So he called David out of the fields and asked him to take some food to his brothers and to report back how they were doing. We see here that God is still fully in control of the situation. Goliath is not in control, but God is. God placed it in Jesse's heart to send his son David to the battlefield to visit his brothers. God knew that if David heard this giant, he wouldn't be afraid, but instead he would be willing to fight this giant. God knew David's heart. God knew who David would trust in when he would be face to face with this giant. I want to share some verses that shows us that God is still in control. In Psalms 90, verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Psalms 97, 9 says, "For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." Colossians 1, 17 says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Let us remind ourselves that no matter the situation, the problem we face, that God is still in control. Man, I remember my mom had an amazing saying. She would say, "Don't tell me how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is." God is in control right now at this very moment. Let's go to point number 3, David's trust in God. Let's read 1 Samuel 17, 19 to 25. Then we'll skip to verses 31 to 37. When we have it, say amen. Verses 19 to 25 says, "Now Saul And they, all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went. As Jesse had commanded him, he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against the army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up out to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Now let's skip down to verses 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a young, you are but a youth, for he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep from his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord will be with you. So we see point number three, David's trust in God. As David approached his brothers, he heard Goliath shouting his challenge like he did every morning. David was stirred up. You could say it was like back in the days, if someone said something about your mom, you're just like, yo, we can't talk about my mom, I'm about to go crazy. That's how David got stirred up. He couldn't believe what was coming out this Philistine's mouth. And he said to the men in the army, isn't someone going to stand up to this man? Then not, I will fight this giant Philistine. One of the men overheard this, and they ran to King Saul and told him what David said. Saul came to David and said, you can't fight this giant, this Goliath. You're only a boy, and he has been fighting for many years. He is a champion on the battlefield. But David said to Saul, I have fought too. I fought lions and bears to protect my father's sheep. God kept me safe then, and he will for sure keep me safe now. David was a shepherd. He would take care of his father's sheep. And being the shepherd, he would have to protect his sheep. Just like me, when I go hiking with Brother Costanza, I'm always protecting him against the little lizards. Same thing. As a shepherd, David would always come around different animals that wanted to harm the sheep. David would fight bears and lions. It's crazy to think that David was just a young teenager, and this guy was killing bears and lions. Man, just a few months ago, when I was hiking, I was face to face with a huge rattlesnake. No lie, I looked at it, and I ran the other way. I was like, no, I ain't gonna fight this snake. So imagine David was not fighting snakes, he was fighting bears and lions. Wow. So you can say that David also was a warrior like Goliath. He didn't have a huge armor or a spear like Goliath, but he had something much mightier. He had God. See, David knew that God would protect him from anything or anyone in any situation. Even if it's over 9 feet tall and a champion of war, God is looking for us to do the same as David did, to place our trust in him alone. Not our job, not our bank account, but in Christ alone. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:7 through 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the streams and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Point number four. Let's go to point number four, David's weapon. Let's go down to verses 38, and we're going to read to 40. Everyone got it? Amen. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head, and he clothed him in with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Point number four, David's weapon. So what happened was Saul dressed David in his armor to protect him from Goliath. But David took it off because it was so heavy, he couldn't even walk. He knew that God would keep him from the harm. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the world's advice to solve our problems. A friend from work gives you marriage advice. Yo, just go to India and just get a divorce. You know what? I did it. I'm pretty happy. Or that unsafe family member that says, you know what? Go to the clinic just down the street. Tell the doctor that you're stressed out. You can't sleep. Just like that, he'll give you a marijuana card and all your problems will be solved. Or that crazy Theo that everyone has that tells you, you know what, just relax, man. Just kick it and just have a beer with me. You'll see, you'll feel much better. Be careful who you get advice from. Make sure you're getting advice from a godly man or a godly woman. Someone that's going to tell you instead, you know what, let's pray about this situation. Or someone that's going to say, what does the Bible say about this? I am so blessed because the senior pastor of this church is also my dad. So I have access to his wisdom just with a simple text. And man, does my dad have a lot of godly wisdom. So make sure you seek godly wisdom. So we see that David rejects King Saul's armor and weapon. Instead, David went to a stream nearby and finds five smooth stones, puts them in his pouch around his waist, and with his sling, he went to Goliath. David chose not to wear Saul's armor, but instead he chose to use only his sling with five stones. David knew that his sling would be the best weapon to conquer Goliath. You can say David had his black belt in sling shooting. Now let's talk about weapons for a moment. I want to give you four weapons to defeat the giants that we face in our lives. Number one, surrender. First, you need to fully surrender your life to God. Give your heart fully to Jesus. I like what my brother Adam says. Give the keys of your life to Jesus and don't go in the backseat, but get yourself in the trunk and just give Jesus full control of your life. In the year of 2005, I wasn't saved. I was far from God. And on February 13th of that year, I myself was face to face with a huge giant in my life. And trust me, it was taller than 9'6". And I remember like it was yesterday, I ran straight to my closet for the first time, and I surrendered my life to God. I simply said to the Lord, Lord, forgive me of my sins, and now take over my life. I trust in you now. I want to just give you this huge burden. See, I knew I couldn't defeat this giant, but I knew who could, the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 16:24-25, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up my cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Number two weapon, prayer. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added to you. We must seek the Lord in prayer. It's crazy to tend to think that we do not seek God when it comes to our finances. Why are so many people in a financial hole? How about the people that are buried in a huge car payment for not 1 year, but it's more like 100 years? They're putting their trust not in God, that's for sure, but they're putting their trust in that Visa, that MasterCard, that Platinum card. What if they lose their job? Then what? When's the last time you prayed for something you bought, especially a huge purchase like a car, maybe a home, or even that trip to Disneyland? Those churros can be pretty pricey. I've learned these last 8 years to seek God in everything, even in the little. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." Pray on purpose. Be a woman or a man that seeks God through prayer. Remember, God loves you, and God earns to hear from you. One of the things that I've learned from my mom was to pray for everything. Fight for your loved ones through prayer. Become that prayer warrior in your house. Weapon number three, the Bible. Use the Bible to fight your giant. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." J. Vernon McGee says this about the Bible: "God's word is as good as he is." There is an old saying that a man is as good as his word, and while God is as good as his word, his character is behind what he has said. I love this also quote. It's actually from an unknown source. "I have read many books, but the Bible is the only book that reads me." Amen. If you've ever been to my house, you would see in my living room that I have many different scriptures on my wall. That wasn't by accident. I remember when we moved into our house, my wife was telling me, "You know what? I'm not sure what to put on this wall." And one day I just told her, "You know what? I would love to see different verses on the wall." I told her that we need to be reminded daily of God's word. I want to wake up and see God's word. I want to see God's word before I go to sleep. When I'm having a terrible day, I want to see God's word. When I'm being like a fool and saying something hurtful to my wife, I want to see God's word. Every day when my kids wake up, I want them to see God's word. When they're watching TV, I want them to see God's word. I want the word of God to check me, check my heart. The word of God brings comfort, conviction, healing, joy, peace, and love. You can never go wrong by reading the Bible. I want to encourage you all to get into the word. Read the Bible. Get into the word and let the word get into you. I remember a song that I would sing as a child, and it would go like this. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the word for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Number four weapon, fellowship with other believers. In other words, church. Be committed to church just like we're doing tonight. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The church is not a museum for the saints, but it's a hospital for the broken. We all fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says. We are all in the same boat. No one is better than anybody else. That's why I love the church. We are all in the same race. We are all helping one another to finish the race. It's a place where we are spiritually fed and encouraged, where we are reminded about God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, where we worship together as fellow believers. Just imagine, some countries, it's against the law to gather, to sing praises to God, learn about the Bible together as fellow believers. But here in the States, man, we have the freedom to come to church every day if we wanted to. I was listening to Francis Chan the other day, and he was just sharing an amazing testimony. He was saying that there was an elderly man in his church that was in need of a ride every other morning to dialysis. So the church would announce that for the elderly man. Finally, a young man volunteered. So this young man would pick up this elderly man every other day at 5 in the morning. This young man got very compassionate towards this elderly man. And after spending many weeks with him, finally one morning as they were driving to dialysis, the young man asked this elderly man, "Why do you have to go to dialysis?" The elderly man responded, "Simply, my kidneys are failing. They're not working as they should." And the young man just responded, "You know what? I have 2 kidneys. I will donate one of them to you." He says, the elderly man said, "Why would you do such a thing?" And the young man told them, "Because you are my brother in Christ." See, the church is made up of a body of believers that have the same goal, to seek Jesus, to learn about Jesus, to become more like Jesus. Church is where I hear the word being taught verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. Church is where I worship God with other believers. Church is where I run to the altar and give the Lord my burdens. Church is where I'm comforted by my other believers. The church is where I go to learn about Jesus, talk about Jesus, worship Jesus, pray to Jesus. I love the church because the church is all about Jesus. Let's go to our last point, the victory. We're going to be reading verses 41 to 51. 41 to 51 says, "And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in the front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he was disdaining him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field.' The David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all these assembled may know that the Lord saves not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.' When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slug it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled." Point number 5, the victory. As David approached Goliath, Goliath looked at David and thought it was a joke. Goliath thought that he could easily beat David. And it's funny that Saul would send a small boy to fight him. But David said to him, "Without fear, you fight with the sword, but I come with God on my side. And today, everyone will know that there is one true God in this land." Goliath didn't care what David said, and he moved closer to attack him. But David ran quickly to meet him. Reaching into his pouch, he pulled out a stone, put it in his slingshot, and he shot it at Goliath. The stone had hit him right between the eyes. Suddenly, Goliath started to lose his balance, and he fell straight on his face, and he was dead. David had done it. He defeated the giant Philistine, Goliath. When the rest of the Philistines saw this, guess what? Now they were afraid. It wasn't the Israelites. It was the Philistines that were afraid now. And they ran away, and David became the hero to all the people in Israel. While it's true we all have giants, it is also true that every giant can be defeated. In 1 Samuel 17:47, David tells Goliath, "For the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hand. This is why giants defeat us daily and again, because we face them in our own strength and we lose. We need to realize it's the Lord's battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Bible tells us as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. As the enemy drew closer, David ran right at him. That is why you don't run from giants. You don't negotiate with giants. You attack them. Whatever your giant may be, realize you can't defeat them on your own strength, but instead call on God and pray for his power to defeat that giant. Finally, trust in the Lord. I'm going to say that one more time. Trust in the Lord. It's sad to think that when we're going through a trial, we tend not to want to come to church, read the word, pray to God, but instead we try to face our problems on our own strength. We live in a time that everyone wants their problems solved immediately. Nobody wants to wait on the Lord no more. Just like what I was talking about earlier, everyone places their trust in that gold card, in that platinum card. What if there was no credit card? Then what? No escape card. You're probably thinking, man, that's crazy, Mike. You know what? I actually need a vacation for my problems. And I'm about to drop it on my gold card. Take the family to, you know, Disneyland, Cancun. But no, the Lord is saying, you don't need another vacation. He's saying, spiritually, you're dying. Spiritually, you're in the ICU. Spiritually, you're in a coma. The Lord is saying, I haven't heard anything from you in many days, many months. And you're seeking another entertainment? You don't even need to get away. You need, instead, check yourself into a spiritual ER. You need to get into my word. You need to hear my voice. You need to go to church, receive the word. You need to get on your knees and talk to me. I want to hear from you. You want victory over your problem, your giant? You know what? God is the only one that could help you defeat your problem, the situation that you're in. We read earlier, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. Place your trust in Jesus. I'm actually going to finish up right now. We're at a good time. I said earlier that in the year 2005, I surrendered my life to Christ. Let me explain my giant to you guys. My son, AB, was born on February 13th in the year 2005. When he was born, I kid you not, something happened to me that I never experienced before. I felt like a different love for my son when he was born. I remember before he was born, man, I had a solid, my heart was like a solid rock. It had boulders all around my rock, man. And I just knew that and back in those days, that there was nothing going to help me to give my life to the Lord. But guess what? God actually sent me a giant that I couldn't even imagine. My son was born with not one but two heart murmurs. A heart murmur is a hole in the heart. And I remember when the doctor told me the news that he might have to do heart surgery on my son when he was a few months old. Man, that crushed me. I couldn't do nothing for my son. But I knew who could. I surrendered my life, just like I said earlier, to God in my closet. And I just trusted him alone. And I gave this huge burden to him. The doctor told me and my wife that he wanted to wait and see if my son's heart murmur would close on its own. So we waited for 6 months. And during those 6 months, man, I seek God like never before. Getting to the word, going to church. Every time they had an altar call, we were up there, me and my wife with my son. Praying, I would ask my parents to continue just to pray for me. Pray for our son. Just wanted him to be healed. Finally, those 6 months finally ended, and we actually went back to the doctors. And they simply, first, they took us to go get a ultrasound to check to see what was the situation. After the ultrasound, I remember they took us back to the waiting room. during the time I was just praying, Lord, heal my son. Lord, heal my son. Lord, heal my son. And the doctor finally called us in. And I knew the words he was going to say was going to change my life for good or bad. Then with a smile on his face, he told me, my wife, the best news ever. You know what? I saw the ultrasound, and guess what? Your son's heart is completely healed. The coals are closed. Your son is going to be a normal child. And we see in the Bible that David told Goliath, for the battle is the Lord's. God bless you. What do you close your eyes and bow your heads? And let's pray to finish up. Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this word, Lord. I'm so touched, Lord, by the story of David facing Goliath, Lord. And right now, brothers and sisters are also facing a giant, Lord. Only you know what they're facing. I don't, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that during this time that my brothers and sisters would seek you like never before, Lord. That they would read your word daily. That they would come to church, commit to church, Lord. They would seek you in prayer, Lord. And that you would help them get through this situation, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord. That you may just defeat this giant that's in our lives that we're battling every day, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would bring peace to my brothers and sisters. That you would just help them, Lord, daily, Lord. Help them to sleep, Lord. Help them just give them that joy, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to do a work in our lives, Lord. And that we just may just seek you like never before. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Adam, Lord, that he's faithful teaching your word, Lord. I remember, Lord, when we started, there was only 3 people that we started. And now look at us, Lord. We're growing by your grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, to use Victory Bible Fellowship, Lord. Use the brothers to seek out other brothers. Use the sisters to seek out other sisters, Lord. Seek out people that are lost, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you just do a work in our lives. That you would just get us on fire for you again, Lord. Just like when we gave our life to you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. You're so awesome and great, Lord. You do so much for us, Lord. We're not worthy, Lord. We're so blessed, Lord, to call you Father, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, all these things and your precious son, and we just thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.